Welcome to another episode of Ask Tom. How are we doing? Yeah, it's been a little bit longer than I had hoped to before doing another one of these, but here we are. Let's do it. You sent in the questions over at patreon.com/thebestshow, which is the one place, the only place where we solicit any sort of backing from the listeners. And this is one of the things we do for the people who give to the Patreon. This is a Patreon exclusive, and there's going to be other Patreon exclusives coming. Going to have one more out in December. And, yeah, we'll keep it going. Keep it fun. Right? We're trying. Let's see. Ask Tom. First one up. New Milford, New Jersey. Good or bad, and why? I don't know enough about New Milford either way. Is that where the High Lie took place in New Jersey? I never saw it. I think that was Connecticut, right? What was in New Milford? I don't know. Let me look. I'm going to actually look while we're here. Let's see. Bink, bonk, bonk. New Milford, New Jersey. Let's see what it's known for. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, New Bridge Landing? Well, that's interesting. There's a New Bridge Landing there. So, you know what? New Milford, good for me, baby. I like it. I say yes to New Milford. Andy Kindler actually wants to know, why is Andy Kindler so Jewish? I guess it would be because I don't know, Andy. You know, I love you, Andy. You're very funny. One of the funniest people I've ever met. Andy Kindler. Just top shelf comedy. Always love Andy Kindler. Why is Andy Kindler so Jewish? Where do you... come on, Andy. What are you trying to get me in trouble? Let's see. John asks, Tom, I know you love Robert Fripp. How do you feel about the Roaches? I like that first Roaches album, which was produced by Robert Fripp. I don't know it as well as I would like to. I really do enjoy that record, and it's something a record I should revisit. So I'm pro Roaches. Wish I had more functional knowledge of the Roaches other than me enjoying what I've heard. Morgan says, you mentioned the distorted image that Americans have of UK telly because of selection bias. People don't see the dreck, and you mentioned that not everything is Alan Partridge. And I guess Morgan's question is, how did you get into Alan Partridge? Have you followed him through his many incarnations? Yes, well, I remember my friend and writing partner, Joe Ventura. We had been working on stuff. He moved to England for a while, and he said, there's a show here, I'm telling you, it's exactly what we think is funny. And he explained it to me, and it didn't exactly translate because I hadn't seen it. And this was the 90s, so no internet to check it out. He described Alan Partridge. I eventually ordered a region-free DVD, not a region-free DVD, a regional DVD, which would be Region 2, the UK. Bought a region-free player, played it, immediately got obsessed with all Alan Partridge, all Steve Coogan. Yeah, and then I just became such a fan. Steve Coogan is my number one favorite comedian. Alan Partridge, I truly do believe, is, along with Bugs Bunny, the best creations of the 20th century in terms of characters. Alan Partridge has, have I followed him through his many incarnations? Yes, absolutely. I love Alan Partridge so much. And the character has just sustained. Think about the different forms. Starting on the hour and, then the day to day, radio to television to Knowing Me, Knowing You, which is a fake talk show, to I'm Alan Partridge, then going from I'm Alan Partridge, taking the character, then there's ever since then, there has been books, multiple books, a movie, which is great. The movie is great. Multiple series, amazing. The podcast is one of the highest achievements in podcast comedy. That Alan Partridge Live from the Oast House is as great as it gets. I followed him through all incarnations, and I love all of them. And I am just, might sound corny, I consider it a privilege to be alive in the time when this character is doing things one after another, watching the character age, grow, evolve with comedy, also working some of the more, you know, offensive things or touchy things out of the character's, worldview, and, but keeping an edge to the character still. Just, it's a tightrope act, and I'm just blown away by it. Jeremy asks, what guides new music buying for you these days? Are there any genres that you're interested in but know little about? That's a great question. I'm kind of pulling things together from very scattered sources. It's not, I have not been as diligent as I would like to be. A big part of that is not being able to see live music. Hopefully that gets fixed soon, where that can be a more regular occurrence. So I get it from reading other people's recommendations on social media, from reviews written by friends on their music, whatever you want to say, blogs, just get stuff from clips people post online of things. Yeah, just all over the place. I mean, one band that I know I'm late to the party on, but I really do enjoy is Squid, which I found out about from Matthew Perpetua, Fluxblog fame. And yeah, genres that I'm interested in but know little about. Yeah, I mean, I would like to just, I wish there was a 2021 hip-hop artist that really just, that I knew about and spoke to me, or artists. Yeah, so, yeah, that's a fair way to answer that one. Let's see. Chris asks, what did you think of the latest Lana Del Rey album, Chemtrails, Over the Country Club? Where would I rank it in the discography? I listened to it. I did not give it as much time as I should have. It's, yeah, I thought it was great. I didn't hear the new one yet. I'm behind on my Lana Del Rey. She's working. She's much more prolific than ever before. And I need to be, mindful of that and stay ahead of it. And, yeah, she's still at a very high level, huge admirer. I love Lana Del Rey. If I'm going to be out here in Los Angeles, you'd think I'd at least get to meet her at some point, right? Who can make that happen for me? Somebody, anyone, just want to say hi, just do an interview. Love to have her on, do an interview with her, or just say hello that I'm a fan. Jordan says, will you be taking any suggestions for the next season of So Far? Any chance you do the Velvet Underground? Look at the solo albums of Kale and Reed. Yeah, definitely you can make suggestions. I'm not sure what direction we're going to go in. I want to keep doing stuff. I really do have fun talking to Pat and Jason and Mike all about music. and just kind of not having the best show dynamic on it, and we all have a fun time talking, and it's a great time. I don't know if I'd do Velvet Underground. It's a short. It would be short. Velvet Underground. I'll do it right now. Velvet Underground for you. Velvet Underground and Nico. Perfect album. Top to bottom, perfect. White Light, White Heat. Perfect album. VU, the third record. Perfect album. Some people don't like the murder mystery. I love it. And then Loaded, perfect album. Each one's different. The Velvet Underground and Nico is just of its time. New York City, Warhol, all of that is in there. Second album, speediest album, just insane. Cannot imagine what that must have been like to have heard back in 68, to have heard that record. Third record's just beyond beautiful. Fourth record is a pop masterpiece. Each one's different. Each one's perfect. VU and another VU, essential. They had a whole album plus in them that was just so good that would have come out, I guess, after the third record. They were recording all that stuff in 69. Just amazing. The live albums, the two LP set is great. Max is great. Matrix tape's great. They're just perfect. I want to do something with the albums of Lou Reed. I do have the long discussed Lou Reed, Adam Sandler podcast. I think there's something there. I'd like to do that. Evan asks, are there any places or things in Los Angeles? Sorry, I'm yawning a little bit. I record this at 1 a.m, so it's, you know, it's late. Are there any, Evan says, are there any places in or things about Los Angeles that you found yourself being surprised that you enjoy? Yeah, there's some beautiful gardens out here. There's Descanso Gardens. There's Huntington Library. Beautiful stuff. Just beautiful grounds. Just amazing place to get lost. In terms of low stuff, I'm a sucker for the Grove and the Americana, the two outdoor shopping malls. It's low, I know. But I enjoy them. Sorry. David asks, from the book, can you expand upon your love and appreciation for the music of Rick Springfield? Because I completely agree. Well, David, we are in agreement. He really, compelling frontman, great songwriter. Just really, well, just, you know, those power pop arrangements are untouchable. Just quality, mainstream power pop, pop. And he's very funny. I worked with him on a video a year ago for the Postal Service, trying to get the word out about the mail and for voting. He did something on it, and he was as funny as you can be. And he performed. I would just fed him a premise, and he ran with it. Like you'd think he was, was level four at UCB the way he was. Just so funny. Liam asks, which books would you recommend to somebody looking to get more into basketball? Check out Loose Balls is a great book about the ABA. It gives you a sense of the, history of the game, because the ABA was the rival league, and you kind of see how the old version of basketball became evolved into what it became. That's a great book. Yeah, there's good Jordan books are good for just insight into certain eras. The Kevin Garnett book is fun that's out, but that's more of a personality book than just selling you on basketball itself. Look, that Bill Simmons makes me want to barf for 100 different reasons, but I did enjoy portions of his book. You know, if you want to get into something, listen to Flagrant Ones, which is just an amazing basketball podcast. I think that captures the spirit of the game that I, the way I see it. So yeah, I would check that out more than focusing on a basketball book. Chris asks, have you ever met or spoken with Darby Romeo? Curious if you ever had the opportunity to compare notes about growing up with a family in the t-shirt shop business and the early days of zines. I have not. I'm blanking on who Darby Romeo is. Let me check. I'm so sorry. This is embarrassing. But again, it's very late. And I have not. Your guy ain't slept. He did the best show. Oh, it's from, yeah, from, okay, from Ben is Dead. Of course. I knew the name. I have not met Darby Romeo. I have not. I was a fan of Ben is Dead. Yeah. I'm here to say hi. Darby. T-shirts. Boy, oh boy, right? That was something else, growing up with t-shirts. Matthew asks, any chance you'll ever publish some of the scripts that you wrote that never got made? I had so much fun reading your Grown Ups 3 script, and I'm curious about Flyin' V and Jeff the Demon. Well, those are two scripts we mentioned in the I mentioned in the book that I had written with my friend Joe Ventura, who I mentioned earlier when talking about Alan Partridge. Joe and I wrote a script called Flyin' V, which is still maybe the thing I'm most proud of in a way. Jeff the Demon was so much fun, came very close to getting made, didn't get made, broke my heart. Yeah, and thanks for the words about Grown Ups 3. What a weird experience that was, and it's something that's still, it's kind of the gift that keeps giving in a strange way. I just got a meeting for something that is pretty exciting that, I mean, I don't know if I land this job or not, but it was because of Grown Ups 3. Isn't that strange? But it's also a good testament to you do a thing that you do it for your own reasons, you express yourself in the best possible way, show your true self as much as possible, and you at least give people the chance to respond to the best version of yourself. And maybe you do it and you know you're not going to get paid, but you might get it back in another way. You might just get it back in a way that you got to write or make or record something that you now made that exists. The creation of the work should be its own reward. It doesn't all have to lead to some other thing, but it's nice when it does. So, let's see. And as for publishing the scripts, I'll talk to Joe about it. Maybe we put them online or something. I don't know. We can figure that out. Derek asks, favorite GBV record, favorite GBV show? Ever met anyone in person who thinks John is a real person? Boy, Derek, do I have some news for you. He is a real person. Oh no, you didn't know that? Favorite GBV record? Man, I don't know. I like so many of them are just so perfect. For all the mythology and everything around it, I might go with Propeller. B-1000's insanely great also, but Propeller was pretty special. Favorite GBV show? Seeing him in Philly in the early days, or seeing the first New York show, the first show out of Ohio at CBGB's. On an Ohio rock bill during one of the music conventions, whether it was CMJ or New Music Seminar. I can't remember. Yeah. Ryan asks, any memorable experiences with music synchronicity in your life? That is, the music you were listening to scored a moment perfectly, or maybe turned an unmemorable event into something you can't forget. Ryan, I think this was a best show topic. I'm pretty sure we did this as a topic, but I can come up with a couple. One time I was in a, I woke up, and went swimming. I was staying in a casino in Atlantic City. Had to get back to work the following morning. Woke up at 6 a.m. and went swimming. As soon as the pool opened at the Borgata, went down and, swam, and you could hear the music under the water, and the song Blue by, the Jayhawks was playing, and it moved me in a shocking way. I was blown away by that song. It caught that moment perfectly. It was like I was in a movie because you could hear the music underwater. Can't convey how much that moment kind of transformed me in a way. It was it actually became somewhat of a spiritual moment in a very secular way. It was in a casino. Joshua asks, what is a record you love that you honestly feel like almost no one else has heard of? That is a good question. You know, it comes down, I would say, honestly, I could just... The third album by Christmas, man, I would say when you think of records that change stuff for you, it's like, that's one. I listen to that thing more than anything. It's called Vortex. Matador put it out initially. I think it's out of print. I mean, I can't think of a more perfect record in a way, and part of me has outgrown it, where I literally listen to it so much that I just don't know if I can listen to it anymore. But yeah, that record, what a amazing record. And watching them play live, when they would play the whole thing perfectly. They would literally recreate the record on stage. One of the most breathtaking things I've ever seen. James asked, have you ever visited the UK or specifically Scotland? And if so, what did you think? And if not, would you like to? I have not. And it is a huge, gap missing in my life and my experiences. It's embarrassing. But I would like to, and I will, in the next year or so. It has to happen. Can't not do it. I've waited long enough. Gareth asks, best comedy albums, best music comedy albums. Well, best comedy albums. Steve Martin, those first couple records. Wild and Crazy Guy was great. Let's Get Small. Yeah, I love those records. Andrew Dice Clay, The Day the Laughter Died, as I've documented on The Best Show, very, very, just a huge album for me. I listened to it so many times because it's almost not even a comedy album. It's like a social experiment. Yeah, I like that a lot. I would say those, off the top of my head, those are the most recent ones that I remember really enjoying. They're not recent at all. What am I saying? Ay. No, they're super old. They're like the first, the Steve Martin ones are some of the first records I ever heard. Come on, Tom, pull it together. Rick wants to know, what are your thoughts on the Jim Croce catalog from a karaoke standpoint? What a question that is. That is, you know me too well, Rick. Ask a question like that. Let's look at the Jim Croce catalog. I'll tell you what I think of him as a karaoke artist. Well, I can tell you right off the bat. I've done I Got a Name at karaoke so many times. That's a great one. I'll Have to Say I Love You in a Song would be a good one. I've heard people do Bad, Bad Leroy Brown was fun. Yeah. Can't go wrong with Jim Croce. Roke it up, baby. Michael asks, Tom, have you tried reading the Robbie Robertson autobiography? Some great anecdotes. I think you might enjoy this for your book club. Cheers. I have read the Robbie Robertson book. I did enjoy the Robbie Robertson book. I don't, I might have some bones to pick here and there with things in the Robbie Robertson book, but it is a very compelling, very enjoyable, very well-written book, and I give him all the credit in the world for that. It's a, he does a great job telling a story. Let's see. Nick says, any desire to write a crime novel? Huge desire. Nick, you might, you done did it, buddy. I think that's what I'm going to try to do next, but, we'll see. That can change also. That is a serious goal, for my next book. That could change though, but what are you going to do? I'll go where I go, right? Sasha says, would you start watching Doctor Who if the Doctor's companion was Alan Partridge playing a character? Not just him being the companion, but him actually acting as if he was in the cast of the show. Sasha, this would be the greatest thing that's ever happened in television. Not even entertainment, in life. Alan Partridge, if the makers of Doctor Who cast Alan Partridge as somebody who, they let Steve Coogan play Alan Partridge playing a character on the show. This is the greatest idea. I don't know why you're telling it to me. You should take it to either Steve Coogan or to whoever makes Doctor Who. Maris wants to know, who's your favorite Pokemon? Oh, that would be Snorlax. Film Grab says, dull question, but you're a dynamic, creative guy running a business, having a creative social and just comfortable existence seems harder than ever. What practical advice would you have for someone trying to follow in your footsteps? Well, it's just all about balance, and I'm not good at it. I'm terrible at balance, Film Grab. I struggle with it so much. It's a real, it's hard. It's hard to have a life that even resembles what you're calling a full life. I feel like I come up short. I feel like if I favor one thing, I come up short on another thing. I struggle with getting that balance right. So don't just, but realize there is a balance and that it's something to try to get as right as you can. And you got to try to be nice to yourself too. So also something that, guess what? I'm not good at. Derek says, which artist / band has the most A+ albums? I'm looking for quantity. To me, it's Neil Young. Listening to the CSNY podcast, I wonder if you might agree. Maybe the Stones? A+ album. A+. Man. Neil Young's got a bunch. Man, who else has New Pornographers has, you talk about A+ albums, you talk about, that's a handful there. That's a lot. Destroyer, 20 years in. Those are all A+ records. All different, all amazing, all compelling. Yeah, Neil's way up there. I mean, look, of course the Beatles, it's such a cliche at this point. I mean, A+, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one. I'm going to keep thinking though, because you don't just want to say Beatles. Beatles, that's such a boring answer, but you know. Might be right also. Yeah, and not the Rolling Stones. I mean, look, Rolling Stones have put together an amazing run, but it is not as long of a run as it might seem. Steve asks, it took a visit to Auckland by Effed Up and a chat with Damien to realize you put out King Loser Records. How did that happen? And what was it like to deal with that notorious New Zealand band? I loved dealing with them. I loved Chris Hazlewood. I think Chris Hazlewood's one of the all-time great guitarists. He was very cool to me all the time. I can't say anything other than isn't nice about him. I loved him, loved the music. He's just brilliant. One of the secret weapons in the history of New Zealand rock. And Steve also says a doco is coming. Well, if that's short for documentary, I'm excited. No, love King Loser. So kind of an honor to put the records out, really. Tristan says, and for putting the records out, I had a label called 18 Wheeler in the 90s and put singles out, a couple albums, and King Loser was a band on the label. So that's to give some clarity to Steve's question. Tristan says, I've been taking guitar lessons for a year now, and sometimes I can't think of new songs to play. Can you think of any songs, preferably acoustic, for me to bring to class? Yeah, bring in some Kurt Vile. Check some KV out. Those are good songs. Got some finger picking in there, some strumming. You can't go wrong with that. William Tyler, another way to go. Can't go wrong with that. Speaking of William Tyler, well, this is not William Tyler, but somebody named Tyler asks, what is one best show call that still lingers with you? I still think about that villain caller who talked about throwing mattresses in swimming pools. It haunts me on a very frequent basis. You, my friend, just hit the nail. You hit the nail into the nose. That call about a caller saying, like, we're talking about pranks, I think, and they talked about how they shoved a mattress into a hotel or motel swimming pool. And I was horrified by it. And I'm still horrified, but it's terrible. That's truly gross behavior. That call sticks with me. Spike, when the Weirdos Exposed thing fell apart. Yeah, those are two. Let me think of one more that really sticks with me. Andrew Dice Clay was another one where he started cursing up a storm. Unbelievable. David says, how does pizza in L.A. compare to New Jersey? And what's the ultimate pastry from a decent Italian bakery? Pizza's okay out here. It's not as bad as people say, but it is not. It's good. It's just not. I don't find it transcendent the way I find New Jersey / New York pizza. Yeah. Couple decent places. A place called DeSano's I like. And what's the ultimate pastry from a decent Italian bakery? The cookies with the little red goo in the middle. Can't go wrong with those. Man, I wish I had one right now. Wish I had 10 right now. John says, what are your general thoughts on amusement parks and theme parks? P.S. Thank you for being a regular viewer of my Instagram stories. Well, John, I know who you are. You're an amazing, sweet guy. And I will say this. One of my goals for 2022, John, is to get to know you better. You're a nice guy. I want to get to know you better. We'll go see a movie at the New Beverly or something. Amusement parks and theme parks, I really do like them. I go on rides. I like roller coasters. I like, I can't handle the absolute most extreme ride at an amusement park. And I kind of cap out on the rides sooner than later. I went on that Harry Potter ride at Universal Studios. I was so sick afterwards. I felt like somebody dismantled my equilibrium. Like they were poking at my hippocampus or whatever it is in your head. But I like amusement parks. I like when they do the haunted stuff. I like that. Yeah. pro amusement park. Daniel says, "Hi, Tom. I've always been inspired by how self-motivated you are. Outwardly, at least, you seem like a self-starter who is willing to go it alone on things that you believe in and love. On the other hand, you're successful in a lot of collaborative mediums." Media. Sorry. Proofreading. But to the rest of your question, Daniel, I'd love to know how you've learned to balance the two. How do you welcome collaborators into projects that feel intensely personal? And how do you know when and if to cede control to others? Yeah, that's a great question. It's to me, the only way that these two things work is to kind of have one of each going at the same time, or at least have, if you're going to work in a collaborative medium, you just have to realize you are, like, for example, on a television show. I've been a writer on shows. I've been a high-level writer on shows. The buck definitely does not stop with me. The buck does not stop with the showrunner, with the head writer on the show, the person that does the final rewrites. The buck doesn't stop with the network executives. It doesn't stop with the director on a TV show. It doesn't even stop with the actors. Everybody's collaborating with everybody. Nobody, somebody might outrank somebody else. That's undeniable. But nobody wins every fight on a show. You share the ball. And when you learn that lesson and truly digest it, and you don't personalize when things don't go your way, you will be much better suited to work in a collaborative medium. It's just kind of getting that ego out of the way. And one of the ways to do that is to try to have something that's all your own when you are working in a collaborative thing, like as your day job or whatever. Do something as a at night, something you can do semi-frequently to feel the extent of your voice and everything you want to do and say. Nobody's going to tell you no on that. It could be like your own podcast. It could be anything, your own writing, your own music, whatever it is, have something where the buck stops with you. That's what The Best Show has done for me. The Best Show has done so many things for me in so many ways. One of which is to, give me like an escape hatch from working collaboratively all the time. And it's very important. And also you wanted to know how I balance it too. In terms of knowing when something is personal and you wouldn't want to collaborate with that, you'll know. I would not have ever wanted to collaborate on any part of my book outside of having an editor work on it with me, but they were working with me. They weren't writing it with me. We were not sharing the ball in that regard. They were assisting me writing the book. So I knew that's not a collaborative, those are stories that are not going to be collaborative in any form. They wouldn't have existed anywhere else because I just needed to control them and present them how I needed to. So you'll know. But that's a great question. Eric asks, let's see. "One of my favorite parts of the show has always been you making up blatant lies about the others who work on the show. My favorite is when you said AP Mike was bragging about finding a whole cake at the bus stop. But I've been wondering for a while, did the guys really order pizza every week, or was that a joke?" Well, first of all, I have no idea what you're talking about these blatant lies. I think that's a smear and slanderous, and I don't like it. No, of course we joke around. The cake one, I don't remember. It's making me laugh, though. But did they really order pizza? Yes, they really did order pizza. We feed everybody. That's how we do it. And I'm eating the pizza after the show. I can't eat it during the show. I can't eat while broadcasting. I hear people do it, and it makes me a little mad because they kind of should eat before the show, or find a quick break and shove some candy in your mouth to keep your energy up to just get to the next part of it. But people breaking out a tin of Italian food from a takeout and eating it. No, that's just like into a microphone. Oh yeah. Yeah. You make me want to barf with that. Let's see. So what was I going to look up now? Oh, I'm looking up the next question. See, Tom, you're one step ahead of yourself. Okay. Charles wants to know, what is the theme music for the Mark and Tom show on WTF? Well, if I remember correctly, I know it's by the Toklas, a band that featured John Hogan, a friend of mine. I cannot remember what song it is, though. It's by the Toklas, and you're right, the lyrics are FBI, CIA. Search Toklas, and maybe that will tell you. All right, I'm really getting woozy here. This is a Tuesday where I was up doing calls at 8:30, and now I'm doing this at after 1 a.m. I'm a little beat, and it was also a best show night, so I'm your buddy's running out of gas right now, but I'm going to say thank you for supporting the show over on the Patreon. I appreciate it. I'll keep doing these Ask Toms. Keep sending questions in. They're a lot of fun to do, and I appreciate it. And again, thank you for listening. We'll do another one soon. Bye.